Are you there?
Good morning, Kerry. Good morning. I am here indeed from sunny Swindon.
Sunny Swindon. And this is one of the things that I know our lovely listeners were keen to find out, whether or not you did indeed have the sun shining on the righteous today in Swindon.
Definitely. I can definitely report that. It's blue skies and wispy white clouds.
We like that.
They're moving quite slowly, yeah. So it's not windy either.
Excellent work. Well, thank you so much. thank you so much for joining me this morning. We're going to have a chat about your teaching. We're going to have a chat about the books that you have written so far and what you've got planned for the future. But let's set the scene first. Let's talk a little bit about who you are, because people need to know, Beverly. I tell you, they need to know. And also, of course, we need to know about your lovely daughter, who you told me yesterday when we were having a chat is here in our fair city. So please give us a potted biography of who Beverly Clark is, and as we said, what your daughter's up to in Cardiff.
Okay, brilliant. Okay, so I am a former teacher.
Yep.
I'm a secondary school teacher. Before that, I had a career in corporate IT. And a few life changes led me to teaching, which I thoroughly enjoyed. And I found my calling in teaching and understanding that the benefits of tech on society and the impact it can have on young people. And through a few different changes, I then went on to work back into corporate IT, and I write lots of articles for different magazines, and I'm into lots of teacher training.
Mm-hmm.
Really into anything that's topical and it can actually change people's lives, and lots of work with teachers and ultimately the impact on young people.
Gotcha.
I do have two daughters, and one of them happens to be over in Cardiff studying, and lots of my work is based upon me as a mother going out and about with my children and teaching them about the world of tech. And I just get quite excited about technology, really.
And rightly so. Many people would say it's the future, and I don't suppose we can argue about that. But I mean, being serious about it, I mean, you can never introduce children too early, so it seems these days, to the world of technology. And most kids obviously do take to it like ducks to water. And that old adage about, if you're trying to work out how the television remote works, well, the best thing to do is to give it to a three-year-old. And that does seem to be true these days.
Indeed it does. Tech is the future. We are currently in what we're calling the fourth industrial revolution, which is this rapid change which is currently characterized by technology. Everything we're doing, we've got our mobile phones, we've got the TV, we've got things on demand, our shopping, everything has been automated. And that's one of the big things that is covered in the book, which we'll come to a bit later on.
Just
introducing young people to concepts around data, information, automation, and the changing world as we're currently living in.
And of course, it's fair to say that obviously with the last 18 months that we've all been through, lots more people have decided to turn to technology to do lots of the day-to-day things that they originally might have done by literally going outside their front door, going down to the shops, going to libraries, whatever it may be, ordering all sorts of things. And now technology is sort of taking the place of so many things, isn't it? Which can be good and in a way also can be bad.
Absolutely, Kerry. So there's loads of great things about technology. They improve connectivity. We can speak to people all across the world. I mean, I would say tech came to the rescue during the lockdown. So it united the world in that way. There are lots of things that we do need to consider when using technology, things like the privacy issues and keeping ourselves safe from, from hackers and anyone that doesn't want to use the internet for good. But I tend to lean towards all of the good things that technology has for us, and just have an awareness of the downsides of technology. The pandemic, it really highlighted the need to understand the how technology works, to really draw the best from it.
And certainly, if we're starting, I think, with the children in schools now, younger and younger, aren't we, with introducing them to using tablets and so on. And clearly, I know there are many schools for the slightly older children now, where the whole idea of textbooks and so on is certainly becoming a thing of the past.
Yes, e-books have come online massively since the pandemic. The pandemic has sort of just pushed us forward by many, many years. So we've got e-books, homework is online, we've got parents' evenings, the traditional parents' evening, yes, which you'd attend with your mom and dad. That many of them have now gone online. So society has just changed rapidly in the space of the last 20 months.
And as we said, in a way, now that the genie is out of the bottle, it's never going to go back, is it? So, I mean, probably this last 18 months actually has pushed us forward more than just 18 months worth. It's probably pushed us forward years and years, hasn't it?
Yes, I think somewhere I heard it's pushed us forward about 5 to 10 years.
Wow.
So this has been a rapid, rapid change that we've all experienced with the backdrop of the pandemic. And, you know, you just mentioned a minute ago, you know, what sort of was the right time to start young people off with technology. It's never too young to start.
No,
you know?
True,
and also
true.
You're never too old to learn and embrace the technology either. So,
and I mean, I guess
that, just embrace it.
Yeah, I mean, one of the great things, I mean, with all things with youngsters and small children as well, of course, is that by and large, there's no fear factor, is there? They are absolutely there. They're like a blotting paper, aren't they? They take it all in. So as long as they're being pushed in the right direction, or guided, I should say, probably in the right direction, it's just wonderful, isn't it, to see the young ones absolutely embracing it all, as we said, with no fear. Off they go, and you think, well, you know, this is probably the best start that they could have.
I couldn't agree more. No fear. Those are two words there. So fear is, we need to be more aware of the downsides. We do need to understand that if you share your passwords, for example, that will have repercussions.
Yes.
We need to understand that if you are using a computer in a public place, that you should log off, for example.
Surely.
Be aware of anyone looking over your shoulder. Think about when you're connecting to Wi-Fi, what data and information you could be sharing across the Wi-Fi. So it's about awareness. So it isn't to be scared or terrified of, say, hackers, which is one of the big words that's used out there, someone hacking. It's to understand, really, what is happening, how you can protect yourself, and just go forth and embrace what technology has to offer us.
As you say, we're becoming more and more of a digital world in every sense. And obviously, fair enough, it's absolutely vital that the youngsters are taught the information. But I guess part of the story as well, of course, is teaching the teachers, isn't it?
Yes, teaching the teachers. So here in England, we've had a massive government programme where teachers are being upskilled through the National Centre for Computing Education. And I'm heavily involved with that. And just encouraging teachers who don't have computing as a discipline to get involved with computing, and also teachers who perhaps formerly have done ICT, which is information communication technology, mm-hmm. to upskill more into computing, which is an umbrella term for covering ICT,
yes,
computer science, and digital literacy. And it's really that digital literacy, which is very, I'd say, cross-curricular, right across the board, which everyone needs to understand to be digitally literate.
And I suppose really now the generation of teachers that we have in schools, in classrooms at the moment, are probably going to be, I guess, maybe the last generation of teachers that have been sort of a little bit betwixt and between, aren't they, you know, with regards to technology, because clearly we've had computers around for any number of years. But of course, not all schools have been able to have as many computers as they would want. And obviously, bit by bit, that hopefully is changing as well. But as we said, this generation of teachers are a little bit still one foot in the old school, aren't they?
We have it's twofold, yes. There are you know, newer, younger teachers coming through who are more, I use the term digital native, who've grown up with technology. But there is something to be said for everyone to just understand the how to use technology. It's putting technology to use. I wouldn't quite write off anyone who hasn't grown up with technology. It's about do we put technology to use? It's a whole lot of thinking that needs to take place. So although you may not have grown up with technology, there is something called computational thinking, and that is about really problem solving. So there's a place for everyone. If you can think of how do you solve a problem, then you can pass it over to someone else who may be a digital native and has grown up with technology, and that person may be really good at coding, for example, and they could actually then put your thinking into code and into a solution that can solve perhaps a world problem.
Now, obviously, on reading your notes, I understand that obviously when you were younger, you certainly grew up initially without particularly being in a computer world. And it wasn't until you were around 12 or so that you did come across your first computer. But what was it then when you first saw that machine that absolutely had that spark inside you that made you think, I like this, I want to be involved in this world?
You know what, Kerry? It was just, so I grew up in Guyana in South America, and at the age of 12, my parents went off to teach in the Bahamas, and on the route to the Bahamas, they stopped off in Florida with some friends, mm-hmm. and that's when I first saw a computer at the age of 12, and it was just fascinating. To me, it was a portal into a different world,
yes.
and I wanted to know what was in that screen and beyond, really. So I had read lots of things like science fiction books when I was younger, and then I seen this computer, and it just sort of came together. Now, computing is not science fiction, of course, but I just wanted to know what was in that, behind that screen.
Yes,
and
yes.
Then when I was at school, I had an excellent teacher, and he just really got me interested in computing.
Right.
And it took off from there. And what I started to see was the opportunities, the types of jobs, what you could access. It was in infancy then, but there was just so much more out there. I just entered a new world, and I was just excited.
I understand. So let's talk about exciting children now, and bring us on to the digital adventures of Ava and Chip and the first book, Smart City, which I know is pretty much out absolutely now as we speak. So please tell us more.
Okay, so this is my first children's book, and it was basically inspired during the lockdown. I'd say I've had a children's book in me for about 20 plus years.
Yeah.
And during the lockdown, you know, our world shrunk, and I decided to put pen to paper. So I literally just sat and wrote lots of books, and then I contacted Candy Jar over in Cardiff, who are my publishers.
Yes.
And this came to life. And what I really wanted to, I feel there's a gap in the market in introducing technology in a fun, relatable, not in a fearful sense. It's something we should just all embrace.
Yep.
And I wanted to bring that down to a small, a younger audience in an easy to understand way, almost like a bedtime story. You know, with growing up reading
yes.
and hearing lots of wonderful cuddly bedtime stories. Well, why isn't technology being embraced in that way? So that was my inspiration that the lockdown gave
yes,
me.
Yes, I see. So tell us about Ava and Chip then, our two hero and heroine, if you like, in the adventure. Who are they?
Okay, so Ava is modelled on my own daughter. So many years ago, I was a single parent, and I happen to work in tech also. And I'll be taking my daughters out and about and showing them around London. And so the inspiration for Ava came from the experience of
yes.
taking my daughters out. And in the adventure story here, the parent is me, which is a model of myself. And
mm-hmm.
Chip is modelled on my nephew. And the names come from computing terms. So Ava is a robot in a computing film,
yeah.
Ex Machina.
Right.
And Chip is a computer chip. So that's where the names come from. And off they go into the smart city.
So the smart city, what do we need to know about it?
Okay, the smart city is part of our future, and it's also right here now. So the smart city is a city where there's lots of sensors, there's cameras connecting data, and the data is being turned into information. It's really a connected city.
Right.
And so, for example, we can be collecting information via sensors around the amount of emissions. So we can get real-time information regarding our the air pollution and what's going on in the air. We can look at how much traffic is passing in real time, and then also route traffic around the city. It's just about the connected city.
So this is the first book, I think I'm right in saying now, potentially in a series, that and you're going to develop these various themes as you go along?
Indeed I will, Kerry. So I've got to I've written 10 so far,
ten?
And I've got a few more ideas.
Wow.
I was very busy during lockdown.
You were.
They're short stories.
Surely.
And it did come back quite naturally. And what I should say, if you're looking for examples of smart cities, you know, we can look to cities like Milton Keynes and Bristol.
Yes.
Those are some examples of smart cities. And up on my website to accompany this book series, which is afortchipbooks.com.
Right.
There are also some free downloads, which anyone can download. So if you want to have more of an educational angle and to understand a bit more and learn a bit more about smart cities and technological terms, you can go there, just download those. I've just written those out of my own teaching experience.
Understood.
And just a few items that, well, you know, support the story, or you can just read the story on its own.
Well, that sounds really good. So I'm right in saying now that this book is available pretty much straight away, isn't it? And obviously it's going to be maybe a good little thought for people as a stocking filler for Christmas.
Well, I do hope so. Yes, it's available on Amazon, on Kindle, and in paperback.
Right.
And also via my own website, Ava Chip Books. And later on, I'll be putting up a 10% offer. So if you want to go to Ava Chip Books, you can get it directly from me.
So that's absolutely where people need to go then, Ava Chip Books. And if they look it up on the internet, clearly they're going to find it, aren't they?
They can. And we're also across social media, so across Instagram, Twitter and Facebook.
Brilliant. Well, I mean, it all sounds like great fun. And clearly it might be, as we said, just in time for people to think about a little Christmas present and so on. And when would you imagine then the next couple of books might come out? Will you wait then until the new year?
Yes, I have already mentioned The Candy Jar. Next book is on its way. So I am hopeful for late spring 2022.
Okay, right. And you say you've already written 10, but I'm guessing you're probably going to tell me there's plenty more up there in your brain as well.
Of course. Technology is all around us, so it just keeps coming.
Ideas
are just there.
Yeah. And have you had some decent feedback at the moment from those people that have already seen it? I'm guessing probably some stern critics within your own family.
Well, feedback has been overwhelmingly excellent. And what I should say right now, I'd like to thank my reviewers. So I've worked with three reviewers, with Bethan, there's Pauline, and there's Matt.
Right.
And they helped me with proofreading along the way.
Yes.
So they've been quite excited. My website developer, he's also been very excited because I've known him for some time, and he's supported me with building the website. And he sent me an excellent video message over the weekend saying how excited he was. So it's been really great feedback. And
it's exciting times, isn't it? So
it is indeed.
Beverly, just give us the full details once again, then, if you would, of where people can find out more. As we've mentioned the website a few times, but please let us have that again. And is there a Facebook page or anything like that as well?
Yes, Kerry. So across all social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, there's good old-fashioned email also.
Yes.
At avachipbooks.com. And also what I should mention is that the characters are diverse, which are reflective of myself and my family.
Yep.
So that's another angle. It's a gap in the market there for books with featuring diverse characters.
So you're really covering all bases.
I'm reflecting my life and my reality. Yeah?
Beverly, we can't fault that. Well, listen, time has beaten us once again, as it always does when we chat to people on the phone on the programme here. But let me wish you the very, very best of luck with the book. I will be giving it a couple more mentions before the end of the programme.